Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and I'm so happy you all are taking the time this evening to share in this time of remembering the truth about ourselves. So let's come together, as we always do, to just take a few moments of silence together. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. We place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request, and trust that if we need a word tonight, if we need to hear something, say something, ask something, the words that we need will be there, and the answer that we need to hear will be given through any of us, through all of us. And with that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of the here and now. All right, so picking up where we left off last week in the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 201. The subheading is The Answer to Prayer. That's actually the subheading in all three versions of the book. You can find that section in the original edition on page 169. It's chapter 8, part 11, The Answer to Prayer. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's page 163, also called The Answer to Prayer. So we'll do as we usually do and take it a paragraph or two at a time and pause and see where we go. All right, The Answer to Prayer. Everyone who has ever tried to use prayer to request something has experienced what appears to be failure. This is not only true in connection with specific things which might be harmful, but also in connection with requests which are strictly in line with this course. The latter, in particular, might be incorrectly interpreted as proof that the course does not mean what it says. You must remember, however, that the course does state, and repeatedly, that its purpose is the escape from fear. Hi, Paula.
Hi, Corinne.
Welcome. Do you need the page numbers?
Are you home?
I am home, yes.
You're a trooper, I'm telling you.
A little trooper or a little crazy. I don't know which one. But
yeah, the page number would be great.
We're on page 201 in the Sparkle Edition. We just finished
the first
paragraph.
Okay. I'm there.
So this paragraph is saying, and I'm wondering, probably most of us on the call have experienced this, we're using prayer to request something, and we experience what seems to be failure, meaning that whatever that request is doesn't seem to get answered, and we're actually going to be given an explanation of this in the next paragraph. But any thoughts about this paragraph? Anything that comes up for you?
At first, it seemed kind of weird because it was giving the explanation I would think that it would, but then it seemed like, then there was part of it that said, even if you're asking what would seem to be in a correct way, that it's wrong. So I'm sure it's going to, you know, unfold as we go, but it was just funny how it kind of did that.
Yeah. So it's, yes, exactly. So it's saying that even, you know, if you're asking something that seems strictly in line with this course, it still seems like we have failed in, you know, getting our prayers answered. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Good observation. So, yeah, so let's actually take the next paragraph because this is going to add a lot to the first one. Let us suppose, then, that what you request of the Holy Spirit is what you really want, but you are still afraid of it. Should this be the case, your attainment of it would no longer be what you want, even if it is. This accounts for why certain specific forms of healing are not achieved, even though the state of healing is. It frequently happens that an individual asks for physical healing because he is fearful of bodily harm. At the same time, however, if he were healed physically, the threat to his thought system would be considerably more fearful to him than its physical expression. In this case, he is not really asking for release from fear, but for the removal of a symptom which he has selected. This request is, therefore, not for healing at all.
So would the request be answered if he asked for release and release from fear?
So that's a good question. So, and that's almost, I can't say yes or no to that question, because the Course is teaching that we're responsible for fear. We made it. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus, can't just undo it for us. We're the ones that are responsible for it. So it's our responsibility to take it to Spirit. In asking for release from fear, where my mind automatically goes with this example in this paragraph about, you know, being afraid, asking for physical healing because we're afraid of bodily harm. What we're doing with that request, if we're – okay, so let's just use a specific example. I'm just drawing a blank. Pick any number of bodily issues, any, you know, hundreds of bodily problems that we can possibly have. And if we're focused on wanting that symptom to be removed, what are we doing? But, again, we're placing importance on the body. We're saying this body is – it needs to be healed in order for me to feel safe. This body needs to be okay in order for me to know that I'm okay. So what we're, in a sense, doing when we're asking for physical healing is just keeping the ego going. We're simply asking not for real awakening, but just for, you know, the removal of a symptom to keep our dream intact. And so in other parts of the Course, it says that our task is to ask for our perception to be healed. Whenever, you know, illness presents itself and you know, we feel that fear come over us, it's the true healing comes about when we want our perception to be healed above all else, because what we're doing is recognizing that our mind isn't in our body is in our mind. And it's, again, that whole idea about removing cause and effect. Our body is an effect of the mind. It's not a cause in and of itself. So the body can't cause me to have a bad day, or it can't cause me to feel sick. It's an effect of my mind. And as we recognize that and bring that recognition to our awareness, asking for healing of our mind, then the body follows. So, Paula, I didn't answer your question directly. so to ask
No, you answered my question.
Okay, good. So
yeah,
we can
perfectly.
We have to,
yeah,
we can't just ask for release from fear. We have to play a part in that, and our part in that is by acknowledging the fears that are there, looking at them with spirit, and taking them to the Holy Spirit to be undone. So it's not a path.
We're literally making it real when we think there's something. We're creating it,
right?
In a sense, by it just is. This is hard to remember.
This is big. This is like,
it's huge.
This is huge. And as we, you know, I mean, this is really a lot of the, I don't want to say the core of the Course, because again, this goes even deeper to addressing, you know, our belief in death, our unconscious fear and guilt that we carry in our minds, but our body is our primary special relationship in this world. So, you know, we can think of how we have special relationships with all sorts of people and things, and we make idols out of all sorts of things. Our body is the most special relationship that we have here. And so for us to start being able to question how we even perceive illness is a good thing. We want to, you know, get to that point of questioning even how we, you know, think healing works. Or what's worth healing.
Wow.
So this is big stuff. So we're not, so the last sentence in this paragraph then where it says, in this case, he's not really asking for release from fear, but for the removal of a symptom which he has selected. This request is, therefore, not for healing at all, because, again, the source, the place where healing happens is in the mind. It doesn't happen in the body. If we get, you know, lucky and, like the Course says, find a magic formula that seems to work out there in the world, that's just like plugging up that leaky pipe. So great, you know, we get that symptom to go away, but the leaky pipe is still there to spring a leak elsewhere because we haven't healed the source, which is in our mind, which is, again, this belief that we're separate from God.
So this
is huge.
That
this
is just amazing.
Stuff. This is big, big stuff. And so what this is saying too, now taking this back to the first paragraph that we read where, you know, we ask for, we pray for something and then it seems like nothing happens, what this paragraph is explaining that we're not going to be given something that we're actually still afraid of. So we might think that, yes, you know, I want this symptom or whatever it is to just go away. And if it were truly to be healed through spirit, if that were to just happen, but we actually are still afraid of healing, we still very much are invested in, you know, I'm still invested in being Corinne, you're still invested in being yourself. If that healing were to happen, that could actually, if it's going to terrify us, the Holy Spirit is going to, that healing is not going to happen because we're actually not ready to receive it. The healing is already there. It's already been offered to us. We're just, our awareness, you know, is still blocked. We still haven't accepted it. So the healing is going to wait until we're ready, until it's not going to scare us.
So there's basically perfection there that we need to tap into. Like our lives are really beautiful events in God's eyes.
We've
already been given everything. Everything.
It's already there. It's simply we just haven't accepted it yet. It's really very simple.
I think the five senses are the bugaboo in all of this, you know,
Yes, you're absolutely right, because those five senses, what we're learning is that what our five, we're learning how to not believe or not trust the data that comes in through those five senses. All that data that comes in through the five senses are witnesses that the ego is, you know, calling forth to prove itself, to you know, say, hey, you know, this is real, you can be hurt. It's this different sense, this, you know, this different type of vision that we're learning how to see with as we turn to the Holy Spirit instead. So you're right, those five senses are there to trip us up.
Oh, I'm so glad you really talked about that just now. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important, going beyond that.
Yeah. And that's where the proper use of denial comes in, because, and the Course talks about that as well, that, you know, denial is a powerful defense. And when the ego uses denial, I mean, we can come up with tons of examples, you know, when we're in denial or we know somebody else who's in denial. Yet denial, when properly used, when we give that defense to the Holy Spirit, that's a really powerful defense that can be used on behalf of truth, because we can deny the witnesses for the ego and still, you know, remain steady and willing to call forth witnesses to spirit. So the Course talks about denying our denial of truth. We've denied truth, and we can now deny that we've denied it in order to know truth again.
Wow.
Amen.
Woohoo. Amen is right.
Yeah, I think the way you're explaining that, Corinne, is so helpful. I mean, I've been really – it's interesting that this part has come up because, as I've talked about before, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. So I've been putting all of what I've been learning – you know, I have a really big – the ego's given me a really big thing to work with here. And I find that I've kind of made peace with a lot of it. It was hard at first, I have to say. But now I really am starting to understand it and look at it like if I am – going into the fear part of it and looking at, like, if he's not feeling well and stuff, I'm actually giving energy to the ego's thought system, and that's not helping him. When I'm able to turn it over to the Holy Spirit and say, let me perceive this differently, I'm actually strengthening his healing. And I'm actually able to say things to him in a different place that actually does make him feel better on the physical level. So it's really a trip how, like, how when you get into this and you really apply it and trust that it is so true.
Yes.
That workbook
Paul.
Lesson that trust would settle all things now is really, that's a big one.
Ooh, I need to look that one up, yeah.
Trust would settle all things now. And the other one, there is nothing to fear. That's a great one.
Even today's is I could just read it all year. Is God is the strength in which I trust. I mean,
can't go wrong with that one.
Anyway, yeah.
I wanted to. I love this idea of how we don't have to. Trust what the five senses are bringing in. I find that to be such a relief and so helpful. But then I also notice that I sometimes get tripped up with that, and I actually find myself very kind of, with my brain's getting like very confused by this section right now, because it's like a paradox. Like, you have to deny what you're seeing with the five senses, but at the same time, welcome it in a certain level, because I found for me personally, and also with a lot of clients that I've worked with, that you have to first come into your body. Mm-hmm. And if you've spent a lot of time kind of denying your entire experience, mm-hmm. then this whole reading all this becomes almost like this waxing philosophical, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Like, it becomes like kind of like heady, and it's like another way to just sort of feel guilt about your experience again. And I notice sometimes I get caught up in that too. It's kind of, I think we've talked about this before, like the spiritual bypass, like it's like you're trying to talk yourself out of it. I find it interesting. It's like there's this space where you settle into, where it all makes sense, you know, it's that inner knowing. But sometimes it feels like a real struggle to get to that, to get to that point of just really kind of letting go. And like, even sometimes just kind of turning something over feels like more of an intellectual process. I don't know if anyone else can relate to that, but kind of wondering, you know, how to kind of, is there any way of looking?
When you use the intellectual process to turn it over, that's the problem.
Yeah.
You know,
and
it's when we think we know, that's the real problem.
Right. Jen, you're hitting on something so key, and I'm so glad that you brought this up, because it does become, again, another, you know, opportunity for the ego to get in there and to just intellectualize this and to be, mm-hmm. you know, up in our heads with the course and maybe being able to, you know, talk it really well and sounding like we really know it and yet not really doing it. And mm-hmm. that's where I like thinking about, you know, handing something over as looking with the Holy Spirit. So to look with the Holy Spirit at something, I have to be fully in it. I have to be fully present to it. So if, you know, something, if fears are coming up in me and there's, you know, stuff coming in through my five senses that's telling me, like, you know, yikes, let's go down, like, you know, an anxiety pattern or something like that, mm-hmm. I have to be fully in those feelings and looking at them with the Holy Spirit. It's an experiential thing at that point, before, mm-hmm. you know, the handing over piece happens. So I feel like you're clarifying a really important step that, mm-hmm. you know, we can't skip over we can't hop, skip, and jump over our feelings and over the five senses. It's like we have to experience it in order to look at it with the Holy Spirit before we then turn it over. So does that
Yeah,
I don't know if
that
adds to anything, you know, with where you're feeling stuck, but I feel like you hit on a really important point.
Yeah, I think, you know, just kind of talking about it, it also is making me, because I think what's happening is lately, the more when I've been studying it, it's like I'm almost kind of pushing away, like, the physical world, like, too much. And one of the ways that I've helped myself and I've helped other people is with, you know, like, for example, like, if you're feeling stressed about something, then you might self-soothe. You know, you might do something that's soothing on the outside. But there's this, like, it's my ego obviously coming in trying to, like, be like, well, you don't need to do something on the outside. You could, you know, make yourself feel better by changing your mind. And so I realized that it's kind of, if you need to do something on the outside to help yourself, it would just be, again, looking at it and doing it with.
Yes, and that's where, I don't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just, I'm just noticing that there's just like a lot of layers of guilt. And I think I was talking about this last week. There's just like a, like, shame, like, snowballs. it doesn't kind of matter what level sometimes I'm at. It's just like, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that. Mm-hmm. Which is good, because I know that means it's coming to the surface. Like, I'm getting
mm-hmm.
somewhere really, really deep.
Right.
But it's like, it doesn't feel the best.
Right. One thing that I was going to say that I'll just say, and I'm hoping my other thoughts are going to come back, is just that, again, it also goes back to, you know, doing something out there, you know, for yourself. Again, there's nothing, I know what it was, I'm just going to write this down so I don't forget. You have to be, this goes back again to, you have to be where you're at. So if you feel an inclination to, you know, do something out there, you should do it. You should absolutely do it, because if you don't, then, you know, again, what's happening, but we're intellectualizing the course again. Like, oh, you know, it
mm-hmm.
says this, so I should do this. We have to go through those experiences. So it's not that doing something out there is ever bad. It's that, what is it going to have a holy purpose, or is it going to have an ego purpose? So again, it goes back to, what is the purpose? So if we're going to do something that's soothing to ourselves, that's, you know, external to us, if we do that with spirit, it then serves a holy purpose. If we do that, then, you know, without spirit, just the ego, like, okay, you know, maybe it'll help a little bit, but, like, you know, the ego's still going to be there. Maybe we don't have to judge it. But do you see how, like, there's always
mm-hmm.
we always have two choices. So the divine purpose in anything in the world is always, you know, that chance for us to give that to the Holy Spirit. There's either going to be divine purpose for something, or just an ego purpose, and it's up to us which person is going to have. Go on.
I kind of had an experience this week that I think relates to what you're talking about here. I work with a woman who kind of just does her own thing, and I was she sits right next to me in the cube next to me, and she was talking to one of the engineers about this new project she's working on, and she's just doing this. Her approach is so entirely different than the way we do things in that office that, you know, I'm like sitting there really judging her and getting really aggravated. And I realized what I was doing, and I realized it was the ego.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, because I couldn't wait for the engineer to leave. I was going to go in there and tell her a thing or two and but I took it, I gave it to the Holy Spirit right there in the middle of it. And I thought, you know, I'm not doing that. I'm not listening to this voice.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit, I am here only to be truly helpful. So what can I do to be truly helpful? And what I got in that moment was, shut up and mind your business and get to work. I don't think the Holy Spirit would be quite that blunt, but no, I really got this, just do your job. And I kind of forgot about it for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 15 minutes later, I walked past her cube, and I just said to her, is there anything I can do to help you with this? I've worked on this project. I know what it's about a long time ago. It turned out to be the nicest experience.
Mm-hmm.
she was really, she says, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm like, I don't have any direction. Yeah, could you help me? And I wound up, because I do the illustrations. And she was feeling, you know, I don't know why she doesn't think to come to me and ask, but at any rate, I was able to help her so much. It felt so good. Because your feelings are involved here. And as I was sitting there thinking, you know, what the hell is she doing? I was starting to feel very guilty. I was very aware of that, those guilt feelings. Like, well, why here? I'm supposed to be so spiritual and I'm taking this approach. And I'm telling you, you just get the Holy Spirit in it. And with that little bit of willingness to just be here to be truly helpful. And I was just blown away by the way it turned out.
That's awesome.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But it does take a willingness.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the hugest thing. And I guess I'm becoming more aware of myself. I'm becoming more aware of there's so many places where I'm so willing and there's still like,
oh yeah,
my deepest stuff where I'm like, it's like I'm kind of shocked, like where
yeah.
I'm still not willing to let it in. Of course, it's the places where it kind of reminds me of the first line of this paragraph where it's saying, you know, even if, what does it say? It says, should this be, let us suppose then that what you request of the Holy Spirit is what you really want, but you are still afraid of it. Should this be the case, your attainment of it would no longer be what you want, even if it is. It's like the things that I want the most, I feel that I want the most in my life, are the very things that I'm the most willful against changing.
Yep.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, it sure does.
And it's like I feel like I want to like slam myself, which I don't do. But it's like it's just kind of like that. It's like it's so frustrating because, you know, I feel like I've been, you know, so aware of these things, but those are, yeah, you know, it's so ironic. It's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Jen, something that you said. Hi, this is Deidre.
Hi.
I heard you say something about a paradox, and I thought that was so key because just thinking of my own experiences and experiences with friends and whatnot, I feel like we choose to come into these bodies and have certain experiences with our bodies or whatever in order to, because our purpose for being here is to be the most loving that we can to ourselves and to others and to express that love outward, right? So if we create situations where we don't feel love and we feel tested to an extent, we are then put in a position to really have that much more spiritual growth when we are able to love ourselves exactly where we are, without changing anything. And I really feel that that's such a huge part of the whole thing with the five senses, is that if we can learn to love ourselves despite what the body's eyes are seeing and feeling and sensing, then that's all there is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So
yeah, no, and that was beautifully said. And I think the amazing part is being able to experience that now, and I can embody that, and it's amazing. And I think it's kind of that piece of still being kind of being stuck between the two worlds still, where it's like you can kind of can feel that experience and then feel the contrast of it. And it is, you know, kind of like you said, it's just kind of like being where you're at. And I read some other line in the course the other day, and it just said something, it kind of emphasized the word process. It was in capital letters. It's like, okay, there it is, like process. Like as much as, you know, I think it's kind of accepting that, even though my mind wants to intellectualize that and kind of say, okay, but it can happen in an instant. It doesn't have to be a process.
but
well,
I'm
the other,
very intellectualizing.
The other piece to that, I think, is that for me, like one of the things that I've been doing recently is I've tried to take out the word ego from my vocabulary, because I feel like that sort of giving the ego an identity, and the ego is really nothing. Mm-hmm. So it's like I call my ego different things. Like I call it Taz sometimes, like, you know, the Tasmanian devil from the Looney Tunes. and sometimes, like, the spiritual Taz will get in there and be, you know, use your own spiritual process against you and try to make you think that you aren't making progress and that you aren't doing the right thing and that you, and that's all, you know, not true. You
mm-hmm.
are exactly where you need to be, and you are doing it right, and you are progressing, and you are a child of God, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome, DJ. That cracks me up about Taz. I absolutely love that. I love that. And I just to add to what has already been said, you know, Jen, with what you were saying, it reminds me too, you know, there's a whole section in the manual for teachers on the development of trust. And what you're describing is the plight of all of us, that we have our foot in the ego, in Taz's camp, and we have a foot in the Holy Spirit's camp, and we're not sure which one we want because we still think that Taz has something to offer us. So just with this idea, you know, just even thinking about the fact that there is a section in the course on the development of trust, and like you said, you saw the word process, like in all caps.
Mm-hmm.
Trust is developmental. Like we have to grow into trusting. Yes, it can happen in an instant, but if, you know, the moment that we start feeling, you know, guilty for where we're at, or, you know, or those self-doubts come up, it's just Taz showing its head again, having its little, you know, little hissy fit. So it's our development. This is all our development of trust. And what you're experiencing is what we all, you know, in maybe slightly different forms, are all going through too, and are all having to face.
Mm. I like that. That's great.
Taz cracks me up. You.
You're welcome, you know, because when you can laugh at it, it doesn't have any power anymore, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, that's hilarious.
I read something in, I think it's either Anita Mirjani's book or the other one that we've discussed so often, where she says your relationship with God is your relationship with yourself. And I think that's kind of an interesting way to look at it too. And because the other day with that woman, you know, I was kind of thinking about that, and it's like, oh my God. And it's your relationship with other people. It's, mm-hmm. and your relationship with yourself. So it just kind of, to me, it was like, well, God certainly wouldn't be thinking these thoughts about her
mm-hmm.
or me. And that kind of helped me to, you know, get above that battlefield.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's great. We tackle another paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're on the Bible Emphasizes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. The Bible emphasizes that all prayers are answered, and this must be true if no effort is wasted. The very fact that one has asked the Holy Spirit for anything will ensure a response. Yet it is equally certain that no response given by the Holy Spirit will ever be one which would increase fear. It is possible that his answer will not be heard at all. It is impossible, however, that it will be lost. There are many answers which you have already received, but have not yet heard. I assure you that they are waiting for you. It is indeed true that no effort is wasted. that comforting? So everything that we have ever asked for, every bit of willingness that we've ever taken to the Holy Spirit, none of our efforts are ever wasted. And if we don't hear an answer, if we don't hear the Holy Spirit's voice, again, it's not because that answer isn't given. It's because we just haven't yet heard it. It's been received, but we haven't yet heard it. And this also makes me think, too, about how the Course teaches that all of this crazy mad idea of this crazy mad insane dream, how it was all over the instant that it happened. So, you know, another way to think about it too is just like, if this is all over the instant that it happened, every answer has already been given. It's already done. It's already perfect. Like we started out talking about perfection. It's already there. It's just, we just haven't yet heard it because we don't want to. Again, it goes back to, you know, having a foot in the ego's camp and a foot in the Holy Spirit's camp and just not being sure. So when we're not sure, we're not going to hear it. As we develop that trust, we start to hear again. We start to receive those miracles that are already there, just waiting to be received. I'll read another paragraph unless anybody else has anything to add. If you would know your prayers are answered, never doubt a son of God. Do not question him and do not confound him, for your faith in him is your faith in yourself. If you would know God and his answer, believe in me, whose faith in you cannot be shaken. Can you ask of the Holy Spirit truly and doubt your brother? Believe his words are true because of the truth which is in him. You will unite with the truth in him, and his words will be true. As you hear him, you will hear me. Listening to truth is the only way you can hear it now and finally know it. This actually makes me think, Paula, of the example that you just shared. what you were just saying about.
Oh, my God.
God is our relationship to ourselves. It's our relationship to our brother.
It's exactly what it means.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty ironic that comes up. Oh, I got to get the highlighter.
Love it when that happens.
I've been actually praying about that ever since, you know, I read that, because it's like, that's pretty heavy duty.
Mm-hmm.
To think that your relationship with God is your relationship. What I think she said is your relationship with God is your relationship with other people. But then the more I thought about it, it was like, well, there's really nobody out there anyway, so it must be the relationship with myself.
I think you're bang on, Paula, because God is in you. God is in all of us, you know? So, yeah.
God is us.
Yeah, exactly. We are extensions.
We are.
Exactly.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, think about that. What in the world is, if you really believe that, what in the world could harm you or make you afraid? What in? Nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely.
Nothing could touch you.
Nothing. That's the point. And it's, you know, like how much time and effort we spend thinking about and fretting about things that don't matter in the grand scheme.
Yeah, we expend a lot of energy doing that.
That's why it says in there that TAS is exhausting.
Yeah. Let's read the next paragraph, too. The message your brother gives you is up to you. What does he say to you? What would you have him say? Your decision about him determines the message you receive. Remember that the Holy Spirit is in him, and his voice speaks to you through him. What can so holy a brother tell you except truth? But are you listening to it? Your brother may not know who he is, but there is a light in his mind which does know. This light can shine into yours, making his words true and making you able to hear them. His words are the Holy Spirit's answer to you. Is your faith in him strong enough to let you hear?
Oh, wow.
Bam.
Wow. Is
wow.
Whoa. Boy, he dumps a lot of responsibility on us, doesn't he?
Wow.
We have no slack.
We're, like, responsible for the whole thing.
That's like,
right.
That's a mind-blowing paragraph.
Oh, my God.
It is. It is. It is a mind-blowing paragraph. And
it just, yeah.
Go on.
Oh, I was going to say, it just clicked. Like, I'm still creating a judgment with certain people in my life where I'm saying that they're not, like, truth, like, in the moment. Like, I was just with my mom earlier, and we'll go in and out of kind of being open with each other and then not, and it was, like, today I just, like, didn't want to see her as truth, and it just kind of clicked, like, if God's in every single moment, then even those things that we think, you know, oh, nope, that's wrong, that's not right, it's like, no, God's there, like,
mm-hmm.
in every single thing. Every single moment.
Yeah, this, and so putting it into my own words with, like, some of the examples that I've shared before, the Holy Spirit or God, however you want to say it, is in your mom, is in whoever, period.
Mm-hmm.
Just period. Like, God is in that other person. The Holy Spirit is in that other person. And do
yeah.
we have the faith to be willing to see that the Holy Spirit is in that other person? Those moments when we have that faith to just hold steady despite, you know, whatever the circumstances is, whatever the circumstances are, whatever that person, you know, may be saying, do we have the faith to hold steady and just trust that the Holy Spirit is in that other person, period? And
yeah. Like, right here. Like, I think I'm still, like, my mind was still trying to take it out of this moment. Like, oh, it'll be there in the next moment. Like,
mm-hmm.
in the next thing she says, it'll be there. Or, you know, if she does this, then it'll be there. But it's realizing it's, no, it's right now.
Right,
right here
right.
and right now.
Right. And so again, our brothers, it talks, the Course says somewhere about, you know, our brothers may be speaking insanely, and again, they don't need us to tell them that. They don't need our correction, because again, if we're seeing, it goes back to again that teaching in the Course. If we're seeing that our brother is speaking insanely, it's because we're seeing through our own ego. So, again, it's that step back and become willing yet again to just trust that the Holy Spirit is in that other person, and then, you know, perhaps then we have that opening where we can hear the love behind their words, where we can see that, you know, they're either speaking of love or a call for love, and that's it. And if it's a call for love, again, what can we do to help except meet that call for love with love, with the Holy Spirit, with being willing to use the Holy Spirit's vision and let the Holy Spirit speak through both of us.
That was well said, Corinne.
Oh, thanks.
That was really well said.
Sometimes I get out of the way. So not all the time, but
yeah, that was perfect.
A little bit here or there. yeah. So other and by the way, too, the thing that was, like, flying through my head just as you said that is that I immediately give that thanks to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus, because that's who I put in charge before these calls. So it does, compliments do nothing for my ego anymore.
I knew you were going to say something like that.
At least not right now. So other comments, or what else is coming up for you with the paragraphs that we've read so far?
That paragraph that we just read a moment ago, it totally reminds me of the talk that I listened to last week. And the gentleman's man is escaping me his name. I think it was maybe Gary something, but it was an audio posted by Nuke Sanchez. And the quote that he used was basically, I'm paraphrasing it, but it was basically, it's love or it's hell. And so there is no in between. You're either in love, which is the truth, or you're creating hell for yourself, basically. And so if it's not love, it's hell. And if our brothers are sleeping and we are seeing a kind of hellish outlook, then that is exactly where we're located. Mm. And just that one thing that he said really just hit me, like, you know, that's, and it, there's no judgment there either, because it's just about locating where you are, mm-hmm. and going, okay, I'm choosing another way.
I love that. I love you shared that quote on Miracle Share, and I just found that really helpful and really powerful, because if you think about, you know, if you're either in love or you're in hell, well, if you're feeling anything, you know, any kind of lack of peace, then guess where you are? And do you really want to stay there? And so when you shared that, I was also struck by that, because it really paints a very clear picture as to, you know, again, when we're not certain, when we have one foot on the ego side or Taz's side, which is going to be hell, or, you know, with the Holy Spirit, with love, it that to me is just a lot of, what's the word, motivation to just keep going, to just keep, again, being willing to develop that trust, to have both my feet in love's camp.
And the other one that's really powerful, that's coming forward for me right now, is there was a quote, I think Mastin Kipp said this, the guy that runs the Daily Love, the website, and he said in a blog once, love has no opposite. Like, there is no opposite to love. So if you're feeling anything other than love, then you're not seeing the truth. And that's
awesome.
That was pretty profound for me. So.
Yeah. Awesome. Let's take another paragraph. I think salvation is of your brother, right? Is that
right.
Where we are? I keep losing my spot. Okay. Salvation is of your brother. The Holy Spirit extends from your mind to his and answers you. You cannot hear the voice for God in yourself alone, because you are not alone. And his answer is only for what you are. You will not know the trust I have in you unless you extend it. You will not trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit or believe that it is for you unless you hear it in others. It must be for your brother because it is for you. Would God have created a voice for you alone? Could you hear his answer except as he answers all of God's sons? Hear of your brother what you would have me hear of you, for you would not want me to be deceived. I'm just going to read the next paragraph, too.
Yeah.
I love you for the truth in you as God does. Your deceptions may deceive you, but they cannot deceive me. Knowing what you are, I cannot doubt you. I hear only the Holy Spirit in you, who speaks to me through you. If you would hear me, hear my brothers in whom God's voice speaks. The answer to all prayer, to all prayers lies in them. You will be answered as you hear the answer in everyone. Do not listen to anything else, or you will not hear truth.
Corinne, that's Jesus speaking, correct?
Yeah, yes. It sure
I like
is.
The fact that he says, I hear only the Holy Spirit in you.
Mm.
See, that's what we really want to, that's got to be the goal,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Thank goodness.
And
there's definitely things I don't want him to hear.
Say that again.
I said, thank goodness. There's definitely some things I would not want him to hear.
I was just thinking the same thing. I have a picture of Jesus in my bedroom, and the Verizon guy had to come in here the other day because the box was out, and he had to replace it. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, he's going to think I'm really weird. I've got a picture of Jesus. And then I'm feeling guilty because I'm thinking, oh, Jesus is really, I was like, this is so nuts. It was so nuts. It was just laughable. And I was like, forget it. Forget it. Let it go. It's cuckoo. But I didn't move that picture.
Cool. You know, Paula, the sentence that you highlighted is the one that I wanted to highlight where it says, I hear only the Holy Spirit in you.
Yeah.
And that to me is so enormously healing because if we can just try that on for a minute, you know how they say that, like, humans, we have metacognition, we can think about our thinking, we can, like, you know, see things from another perspective. If we can step into that sentence for a minute and imagine Jesus hearing only the Holy Spirit in us right now, Jesus only hears the Holy Spirit in you right now. If you can touch even just for a moment of what it's like to be Jesus hearing only the Holy Spirit in us, in me right now, in you, that to me is like a holy instant. That's like a touch of healing, letting healing flash across my mind to be able to see ourselves for just a moment as Jesus sees us. That the Course talks about the use of charity and charity being a way that we can see our brother as much farther along than they really are. And that is like almost like a practice in a sense of self-charity, meaning, you know, again, you know, seeing ourselves as Jesus sees us, hearing only the Holy Spirit in us. That's all that is true. That's, again, that's not Taz. that's the love. That is the truth in all of us. And if we can, yeah.
Why do we love our dogs so much? I mean, we can sit around and curse one another and say horrible things to one another, and the dog loves us. The dog doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why do we, you know, I mean, I think that's such a great physical example
mm-hmm.
of this, at the simplicity of this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The simplicity.
Yeah. Definitely.
There's
it
nothing intellectual or controversial
right,
or...
Right.
It's just a simple.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I would even take it a bit further, like from the angel's perspective and God, because it's all the same thing,
mm-hmm.
Jesus and everything. Our so-called perceived mistakes and flaws and everything don't exist. They
exactly.
don't. It's not even that they don't see them, it's that they're not there.
They're right. not there. That
yep.
background perfection is the only thing that's real.
All
yeah.
the, you know, the guilt, the self-doubt, the problems we think we have, the places that we think stress us out, exactly, like, yes, all that is not, it's not there. And so to be able to touch, even just for a moment, that, you know, angels, Jesus, Holy Spirit, whoever sees only that Holy Spirit, only that love in us, that to me is just almost... I almost feel the tears coming up. I just think it's so beautiful.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's amazingly beautiful.
Mm. Yay.
Yay. Hooray. Hooray once again. Why don't we do this every night?
We'll definitely end there. We won't read any more
oh,
tonight.
My
but
God.
Any other comments, questions, insights?
I just wanted to say thank you, Corinne. This is Christine.
Hi, Christine.
And I really like that last part of I hear only the Holy Spirit in you. Mm-hmm. And it just reminded me of any time that I've witnessed an attack, you know, whether it be a virtual attack as I grow my business, you know, you're always going to attract, like, more people, obviously, and mm-hmm. some people are lovers and some people are haters.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that's just feeling down and projecting their misery outward. Something that I've gotten to now, and for the past, I would say, I don't know, year, is trying to really practice seeing the woundedness and being able to see that, you know, it's a call for love, as the Course in Miracles would say,
yeah.
and being able to see this Holy Spirit in someone. And even with, like, my clients, like, one of the reasons why, you know, I feel like a healer, and I always tell them, and, you know, I always tell them, God, I wish I could do this so much better for myself, right, because it's so much easier sometimes to love others because we're so nurturing and we have to practice doing that for ourselves so much more. But just being able to hear, I hear all of their crazy crap and I hear all of the illusions and the anger and the yucky projections that they have towards themselves and all the things that they're going through. And I just literally see right past it. And I just see them as whole and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I just see it as like helping them remember that and guiding them back to that. And it's just so amazing because that is where the healing occurs, when you don't believe or buy into that you're anything else but that loving Holy
yeah.
Spirit. And so just being able to practice that for myself as well and
uh-huh.
continuing to not believe or buy into the belief that I'm anything else but love.
Uh-huh.
And that anytime that I'm not in that place, that it's okay. And forgiving it makes it go away faster. So
mm-hmm.
it's been nice. It's hard, but
oh.
nice.
So that was beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful. Healing
yeah,
in
gorgeous.
Action. Oh, all right. Well, we're at the top of the hour. I love you all. Thank you all so much for being here. This is such a gift.
Oh.
Thank you.
Let's love you all. Thank you.
You too.
You
have a great
you.
Week. We'll resume next week. Okay.
Night.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.